Griffin and Otero. Lester Young Eagle? Vera Griffin was sitting in the cubicle that had been assigned to her as the new producer of the Neighbors and Friends segment of the evening news show. As she had expected, her promotion meant she had to move to the network headquarters in Boston. With a mixture of anticipation and reluctance, she had made the move. And now she sat in her new cubicle, its partitions bare and impersonal, surprised that this young Native American she had met more than a year ago was calling her. Griffin was wearing a stylish, shifting-hued blouse and trim dark slacks. Hardly a producer's outfit, she thought. She had simply grabbed the first clothes she could yank out of her travel bag this first morning in Boston and hurried from her new apartment to her new office. Young Eagle's three-dimensional image hovered in front of her desk. In his shirt sleeves, he appeared to be sitting at a desk as well. Smaller than her own, she noted. It looked old, hard-used. "Yes, I remember you," Griffin said, checking her directory of names as she spoke. The conference last year in Spokane." "That's right," said Young Eagle, obviously pleased that she remembered him. "How are you?"
"I'm fine." "What's with you? Are you in Boston?"
Young Eagle shook his head.
"No, I'm still in North Dakota."
"So what are you calling about?" Lowering his voice a notch, Young Eagle replied, "I've got a bombshell of a story for you." One thing that Griffin had learned in the few days since the network had announced that she would be a producer was that everyone had a story they wanted to get on the air.
"A bombshell?" she asked wearily.
"Jordan Kell," whispered Young Eagle.
"The Starman.
The guy who took over every broadcast outlet on Earth."
"And the rest of the solar system," Griffin added silently, excitedly.
"You know where he is?" she asked. Grinning like a successful conspirator, Young Eagle said, "He's right here on the reservation with me."
"That's in Nebraska?
North Dakota. What's he doing there?"
"He wants to talk to a network executive. I figured you'd know more about that than I do."
The image of Carlos Otero flashed through Griffin's mind.
"Yes," she said, "I do."
It took most of the day for Griffin to battle her way through the layers of Otero's protective staff. The big boss seldom made time for a newly promoted minor producer. But Griffin insisted that she had the inside track on a story that was so big she would only talk to Otero himself about it. Where the staff flunkies she had argued with were hard-faced and sharp-voiced, even Otero's personal assistant had practically sneered at her. The big boss himself smiled genially as the assistant ushered Griffin into his airport-sized office.
"It's Vera Griffin, isn't it?" Otero asked as he got to his feet and came around his massive carved ironwood desk, extending a hand to her.
Griffin nodded and smiled back as she plowed across the thick carpet.
"You damn well know what my first name is," she was thinking. "You've got my whole dossier on your desk screen."
Otero radiated power. He was much bigger than Griffin, taller and wider, looking splendid in a light gray suit that fitted him perfectly. His gleaming smile looked genuine, though, and his outstretched hand was big enough to swallow Griffin's diminutive one easily. Gesturing to the pair of luxurious armchairs in the conversation corner of his office, Otero said,
"Have a seat, Vera, and tell me what's so important that you can only speak about it to me."
As they sat down, Griffin said, "The Starman." Otero's eyes widened.
"Jordan Kell? What about him?"
"I know where he is. And he wants to talk to you." The big boss eased back in his chair, his smile broader, more genuine.
"Does he?"
"Yes. He's hiding out from the World Council security agents. They're hunting for him." In a few moments, Griffin outlined what Lester Young Eagle had told her. Before she finished, Otero had sprung out of his chair and started pacing excitedly.
"And Anita Halleck is holding his wife, too?"
"Incommunicado?" Otero asked from halfway across the spacious office.
"Yes, in Barcelona. And she's got her people searching for Kell."
"If we could get him on our network," he enthused, "it'd be a coup for Otero Network. A nice black eye for Halleck.
An exclusive for the network."
Rubbing his swarthy jaw, Otero said,
"This is dynamite. It's a hydrogen bomb, by God."
"It will make an enemy of Anita Halleck," Griffin warned.
Returning to his chair and perching on its front 4 inches, Otero said, "She's already our enemy. She's an enemy of freedom of the news media. Has been for a long time."
"I suppose so. But she's got a lot of power, doesn't she?"
"So do we," Otero countered. "We can bring in all the major networks if she tries to muscle us. We could knock her off the World Council next year."
"That means we won't have an exclusive about Kel."
Otero shrugged his heavy shoulders. "His first appearance will be our exclusive. Then we'll graciously offer the other networks to share his future appearances. Halleck can't fight the whole news industry."
"I suppose not," Griffin said uncertainly.
"We'll insist that Halleck release Kel's wife, this alien from New Earth. We'll put her on the air with him. It'll be terrific."
Griffin swallowed hard, then said, "And I could produce the show."
Nodding happily, Otero consented. "I'll put you in tandem with one of our more experienced producers." He gazed up at the smooth panels of the ceiling. "We'll hire a troop of armed guards to protect Kel. That'll erase Halleck's claim that he's got to be kept safe from possible fanatics and assassins."
"It'll be good publicity for the network," Griffin agreed.
"We'll twist Halleck's tail, but good." It took another quarter of an hour for Griffin to get the big boss to dictate a memo outlining their plans to meet Kel and set up an interview between him and their top news personality.
"No," Otero said, his voice quivering with excitement. "I'll interview him. Me, myself."
Griffin clapped her hands together like a little girl.
"That would be terrific. And I'll produce the show."
After another few minutes of eager planning, Griffin got to her feet and hurried toward the door.
"I've got a lot to do, a lot to prepare," she said by way of taking her leave.
Otero watched the diminutive young woman leave his office, glowing with satisfaction. "Like a little daughter," he thought. "I'm like a father to her." Once he was alone in his enormous office, he went back to his desk and called up his favorite quotation. It was from an ancient dramatic show from back in the days of radio, before three-dimensional broadcasting, and even before flat television. Otero had run across it in a history class when he'd been a student in college. It was corny, but it had stuck in his mind all these years. Now he played the ancient recording, the closest thing he had to a credo. In a scratchy old audio recording, a crack of doom voice proclaimed, "The freedom of the press is like a flaming sword. Hold it high, use it wisely, guard it well." Guard it well, Otero thought. If I go through with this Kel business, Anita Halleck's going to declare war on me. Guard it well.